WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
In the summer of 1970, writer Ron Rosenbaum was wandering around England and had an experience that he says has haunted his life ever since. By accident, he saw a performance of A Midsummer Night's Dream directed by Peter Brook, a now legendary production. Rosenbaum's new book, The Shakespeare Wars, investigates lots of lively controversies within the worlds of Shakespeare scholarship and production. But critic Maureen Corrigan says that with passion and humor, Rosenbaum is also trying to make sense of the lingering spell that production of A Midsummer Night's Dream cast upon him.
If you want to get a feel for just how dizzying, idiosyncratic, entertaining, and illuminating Ron Rosenbaum's hefty new book on Shakespeare is, start backwards, at the acknowledgments pages, where you'll see that the first person thanked is Adolf Hitler. That's because, as Rosenbaum hastens to explain, he needed an antidote to the years he spent immersed in Hitler research to produce his previous book, the much-acclaimed Explaining Hitler. And the only cure Rosenbaum found was to wander around Manhattan listening to Shakespeare tapes on his Walkman. To Rosenbaum and lots of other people, the Führer and the Bard represent opposite poles of being. Hitler, the embodiment of a will to destroy so intense he perhaps stands outside the realm of ordinary human evil. Shakespeare, the quintessence of a power for imaginative creation so vast, he may be beyond the reach of all other great writers. That acknowledgement to Hitler serves as a template in miniature for how Rosenbaum structures his sprawling book. At the start of almost every chapter, he'll issue, or quote other people issuing, a startling assertion, such as, "There is excitement to be found in debates over the original spelling of Shakespeare's words," or, "There must be a pause at the end of every pentameter line of Shakespeare, or all is lost." Then in the chapter that follows, Rosenbaum sets about making converts of us all, not to the rightness of any one particular viewpoint, but to the bedrock belief that the arguments themselves matter, and most of all, that Shakespeare matters. Rosenbaum's new book is called The Shakespeare Wars, and throughout it he dives into the thick of controversies that bedevil the Bard. Chief among them is the question of whether Shakespeare really was the noblot whiz kid as he was portrayed in the movie Shakespeare in Love, or a painstaking rewriter. And if he did rewrite, then the differing versions of plays like Hamlet and Lear that have come down to us might well be different drafts of those plays made by Shakespeare himself, not, as has long been assumed, players' editions that were altered for the stage. To investigate these and other Shakespeare mysteries, Rosenbaum becomes a globetrekker, so to speak, interviewing renowned Shakespeare scholars, directors, actors, as well as jesters, knaves, and fools, in locales as diverse as a quaint English cottage, a Krispy Kreme donut shop in an Alabama strip mall, and an academic pleasure seminar in Bermuda. Rosenbaum demonstrates the stomach of a Falstaff in digesting even the most theory-encrusted scholarly treatises on Shakespeare. But he's not just a dispassionate reporter. Indeed, part of the exhilaration in reading The Shakespeare Wars derives from watching Rosenbaum himself take up arms, especially against best-selling Bardolator Harold Bloom and Stephen Greenblatt, whose conjectures about Shakespeare in his recent biography, Will in the World, Rosenbaum claims are as shaky as an elephant dancing on a shot glass mounted on top of a beach ball. A personal aside here. I've reviewed and loved both Bloom's and Greenblatt's books. Although Rosenbaum lures me over to his camp, I still can't forsake his foes. I'd like to think my reluctance doesn't solely stem from being a sucker for any provocative Shakespeare reading, a shake slut, if you will, but from the sense that Shakespeare is capacious enough to admit multitudes of critical approaches that thrill but don't necessarily mesh. With the exception of some sections where Rosenbaum goes into extended swoons over actress Rebecca Hall or scholar Stephen Booth, thrilling readings do abound here, often in the most unexpected places. talking, for instance, to a scholar passionate about restoring the original spelling to Shakespeare's language. Rosenbaum, who admits he initially viewed these antiquarian spelling advocates as akin to Civil War reenactors, learns that in Shakespeare's day, language was more unanchored. It could mean many more things all at once. This idea of unanchored language feeds into Rosenbaum's overarching argument in the Shakespeare Wars that there is something exceptional about Shakespeare, a bottomlessness, as he calls it, a sense that no matter how many times you read Shakespeare, you'll never exhaust the possibilities. Rosenbaum succeeds in dramatizing that experience of never coming to an endpoint with Shakespeare. And speaking of endings, as I learned from Rosenbaum, in some texts, the dying words of both Hamlet and Lear are O groans, as they're called in the theater. If so, I was unintentionally aping those tragic figures throughout my reading of the Shakespeare Wars, murmuring O every few pages, not in despair, but in wonder.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University. She reviewed The Shakespeare Wars by Ron Rosenbaum.